Hi, this is Robert Quintes with the Eno Center for Transportation, a public policy think tank based here in Washington, D.C. In an era of declining infrastructure, coupled with limited resources for transportation spending, state and local governments are turning to the ballot box, where voters are helping set priorities for transportation projects, planning, and policies. With more measures on the ballot this year, Eno decided to launch this podcast series, where we will interview experts to talk in depth about some of the key measures, their impetus and impact, and what lessons can be shared across the country. So in this episode, we're talking to Bob Murphy, former mayor of Lakewood, Colorado, and now the state director for AARP. Lakewood, Colorado is a city with a population of about 140,000, just outside of Denver. And during his tenure as mayor of Lakewood, Murphy oversaw the opening of Lakewood's first light rail line. He chaired the Metro Mayor's Caucus and was instrumental in regional planning issues for the Denver Regional Council of Governments, among others. So clearly someone who understands transportation. So Bob, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This episode, we're going to look at two competing ballot measures in Colorado. Voters in several states are considering one ballot measure for transportation in many states, but in Colorado's case, there are two different measures, both of which are citizen-initiated. So, Bob, why don't you start off by briefly describing for our listeners what Prop 109 and Prop 110 are, and what are they all about and how they relate to one another?
Sure, happy to do that. Proposition 109, which is colloquially known as Fix Our Damn Roads, is a measure that would require the legislature to issue $3.5 billion in revenue bonds for the purposes of building roads only, no other forms of transportation, build and fix roads. And that $3.5 billion would be paid back over 20 years, not to exceed $5.2 billion in payback. And this would be accomplished without any new taxes or fees, so no new revenue stream whatsoever. Proposition 110 is a measure that would raise $6 billion through a state sales tax increase, 0.625 cents on the dollar, and it would raise $6 billion that would go towards road repair, construction, and multimodal projects, and specifically 45% of the money would go to the State Department of Transportation, 40% would be split evenly by cities and counties, and 15% would be designated to multimodal transportation.
Those are big numbers. Let's go Colorado, the one you said with the sales tax increase would raise $6 billion. Fix Our Damn Roads would raise $3.5 billion. So big numbers. The former does it by increasing sales taxes, the latter by borrowing. So what's the philosophy in the state behind the two different approaches? One to raise money as you go, and one to do in the long term.
Well, to put it bluntly, one acknowledges that you can't get something for nothing, and the other one presumes that you can. So the thought that $3.5 billion can be paid back with no existing new revenue stream within the context of a TABOR, a taxpayer bill of rights environment here in Colorado, by which revenue is constitutionally limited year after year, is certainly leads to our belief at AARP to this $3.5 billion pay, up to $5 billion payback, the money has to come from someplace in the existing budget. And certainly that can come from services to older adults. It can come from education. They are targeting Medicaid, and that's something that concerns us because that's greater and greater need across Colorado and the rest of the country. Let's Go Colorado acknowledges that if you need to make up to $9 billion in improvements over the next 20 years, you need to find a revenue stream with which to do it. And it also acknowledges the fact that transportation is more than just roads and bridges.
And I'm glad you mentioned TABOR. Obviously, that has a big impact on how the state is able to raise money. Could you briefly describe what that is for listeners who may not be from Colorado, may not know what that is?
Sure. TABOR is an amendment to the Constitution of Colorado passed by the voters in 1992, and it limits the amount of money that state and local governments can bring in each year based upon a formula of population increase and inflation increase. It's fairly complicated, but in any revenue, like say during boom times, any revenue that comes in over that constitutionally prescribed limit has to be given back to the taxpayers unless, as does happen in municipalities throughout the state, they vote to exempt themselves from having to return that. So statewide, obviously, if the revenue is over that prescribed cap, then the state has to return it to the voters and not reinvest it anywhere in the state.
And I think we saw that on the ballot a couple of localities this November, localities asking their voters if they should be exempt from some of the TABOR. restrictions?
Yeah, it's pretty common that those measures do pop up from time to time. In fact, the Lakewood, the community I was mayor of a few years ago, has that measure on its ballot this year.
So kind of related, I guess the proponents for Fix Our Damn Roads, they charge that there's enough state revenue available without new taxes or fees to fix the roads that are out there now, that there's enough revenue the state is already collecting. Is that true? How do folks feel about the needs the state has and the resources to pay for it now?
Well, in our opinion, that's money would have to be taken from other essential services. It's really as simple as that. There's a lot of figures being thrown around that this $220 million estimated yearly repayment is only 2% of the $30 billion state budget, but that is very misleading because that $30 billion state budget includes, you know, over $8 billion in federal funds that have to be spent in precisely, you know, certain places. And ignores the fact that another several billion dollars is lottery money that has to be spent on parks and open space. So again, in our view, you can't get something for nothing. The money would have to come from other services. And in their campaign literature and speeches, they're specifically mentioning Medicaid and Medicaid expansion as a potential source for new revenue.
So it does get into other areas besides just transportation when it comes to state priorities. Another major difference is something you mentioned earlier. In these two initiatives, Let's Go Colorado has a multimodal element to it, meaning that it's not just for roads. And the other one, it's called Fix Our Damn Roads, is obviously just for roads. So that actually explicitly even excludes anything but roads and bridges. So is there a sense in Colorado of what the modal priorities should be? Is it tilted one towards the other? What kind of future are we looking at there in Colorado?
You know, I think it's fair to say that things like bus rapid transit, and light rail, and as many people know, we have a new light rail system here, the Fast Track system, that's almost finished being built out. I think it's fair to say that those types of multimodal projects are more popular in the densely populated urban Front Range areas here. But the need for all types of transportation is acute throughout the state of Colorado. Communities small and large in the Eastern Plains and the Western Slope and the mountain communities also are looking toward alternative types of multimodal transportation, bus, pedestrian, bike, etc., to alleviate their own versions of congestion and transportation gaps that they have.
And those would be excluded from Proposition 109?
Those would be excluded from Proposition 109. It is roads and bridges only. It does specifically list 66 projects in the language of the ballot initiative. You know, the projects are throughout the state. Again, they want to raise $3.5 billion and imply that those 66 projects would be addressed at the discretion of the Department of Transportation. But that same Department of Transportation has previously estimated what it would cost to repair or build those 66 projects, and that number is $5.6 billion, not $3.5 billion. So they simply cannot fix everything they imply they might be able to fix with that revenue.
Colorado is a state that has lots of different initiatives this November. Historically, they've had lots of different initiatives for lots of different reasons. Some of these are citizen-driven. Some of these are put there by the legislature. Does a state like Colorado, do you get ballot fatigue there? In some states where it's new and it's shiny, there's a lot of attention focused to it. But in a state like Colorado, is it just something that is very routine? Are folks used to voting this way on Election Day?
Yes, it is routine. And yes, people are used to it. And just for example, if you live in the city of Denver, you not only have the 13 or so ballot initiatives that the state has, but you have six more in the city of Denver. So you're voting on nearly 20 ballot initiatives. So yes, people are used to it. It's an interesting form of government, and we'd be kidding ourselves if we thought it was anything less than that. It harkens back to the days of ninth grade civics class. We all remember when there was such a thing, when you talked about the difference between representative democracy and so-called peer democracy. So ballot initiatives tend to be very well funded by in-state or out-state interests and therefore can afford lots of airtime and advertising time, newspapers and multimedia. And so, yeah, that drives people to the polls. And between that and mail-in ballots we have here in Colorado, people vote. So to the question about fatigue, yes, I think there is initiative fatigue. I do many times hear from friends and acquaintances that, you know, just vote no. You know, it's too hard to understand everything. It's not necessarily easy for the average person that may not have the time to become intimately informed. It's not necessarily easy for them to trust folks that, in their minds at least, to trust the folks that put these initiatives on the ballot. And sounds complicated, so I'm not sure I'm going to vote no. There's a lot of that. That's really the sort of the outcome of that.
When in doubt, vote it out.
Yep.
So at the same time, there are other revenue-raising measures, like there's a proposed income tax increase to pay for education. Is that a problem for transportation? Because I guess it gets to your point about fatigue and maybe confusion.
Sure. I mean, if you're in Denver, you've got six measures on the ballot to raise one form of tax by one amount or another, and then you've got some statewide measures that want to do the same thing, then yeah, that can lead to people being very concerned about their pocketbooks, and who can blame them for that? The other thing that happens, form of initiative government, is we get some conflicting constitutional amendments, and we have had some for a number of years that, you know, on the one hand, there's a mandatory increase in funding for something, and on the other hand, you've got Tabor that limits the amount of revenue, and you've got a third one that addresses property taxes and limits the amount of residential property taxes, but that in turn raises the amount of commercial property taxes. So we call it the Gordian knot of the Colorado Constitution, and it's a structural problem.
It is something that for a long time I think had been a phenomenon for the Intermountain West. A lot of states have these kinds of initiatives and referenda routinely. It is actually starting to spread around the country now. We've seen it in the Southeast and parts of the Midwest, this phenomenon of voting for these kinds of initiatives. So whether or not these initiatives pass or fail, what do you think that Prop 109 and Prop 110 mean for the rest of the country? What could other folks look at what's happening there and take from it?
Well, it's once again, it's a lesson in the results of government by initiative, policy by ballot initiative. It will be very interesting if both pass. That's going to ultimately have to go to the court. No one knows how that would come out, and I'm not sure anybody's completely clear of the rules of the game once it gets to the courts. You know, by what criteria would they decide? But, you know, certainly, I go back to this fundamental issue of, do you want your elected representatives to decide these matters, or do you want each and every policy issue? I'm talking about on our ballot alone this year, you know, parks, open space, education, transportation, mental health, you name it. Do you want each of those decided upon by the voters? That's the lesson for everybody else around the country. What form of government do you prefer?
And just for those folks who are actually getting out to vote, as we know, we have a big problem with that in this country anyway. So that is a very good lesson for.
And as I say, not really. Maybe that silver lining in all of this is that, as I said earlier, between the mail-in ballot and all of these well-publicized measures, people in Colorado do vote at a very, very high percentage.
Is there anything else that listeners should know about these initiatives that they're facing in November?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with everyone about it, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see the outcome this year in November, and definitely is going to impact the future of Colorado very much, one way or the other.
It certainly will. And Bob, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us. We're going to be watching all this very closely. I really appreciate the time to help educate us.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. ENO will continue monitoring this and the other transportation-related ballot measures that will be voted on this November and all throughout the year. You can learn more about ENO and our Transportation at the Ballot Box work at www.enotrans.org.